that every man is created equal, and all men have the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And it's amazing how many millions of people have immigrated to America because of this reason, for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And it's changed so many lives, and it's great. It's the original American dream that we can come over here and live the life that we want to live. We have the liberty to be able to worship any way that we want to, and we can pursue our hopes and our dreams. And it's great. America is a wonderful place to live. But see, there's something so much better than the American dream, and it's called God's will for your life. Because when you're living in God's will for your life, you're going to have life. The Bible says that Jesus came to give us a rich and satisfying life. That's good news. So many people don't live rich and satisfying lives. But in God, we can have that. Also, God gives us freedom. He gives us liberty. First off, we have liberty from sin and death. When Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, that our sins were forgiven. The power of sin and death are broken over our lives when we accept Him as our Lord and Savior. We have all kinds of freedoms within our Christian faith, and that He wants to bring freedom to us emotionally. He wants to bring freedom to us mentally. He wants to bring freedom to our physical body. He's provided so much freedom to us that we just need to tap into this freedom and to live free lives. And also, He wants to bring happiness and joy to us. And that's what we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks, is the pursuit of happiness. See, that's the American dream, but God wants to give us so much more than just happiness. He wants to give us joy. Now, is there a difference between happiness and joy? Absolutely. We'll talk about that here in a second. The difference between happiness and joy. But it was interesting, as I was studying scriptures for today, studying some joy scriptures, that there was another little word that kept popping up in a lot of these scriptures. And you know what that word was? Thanksgiving. And it just so happens we're in the Thanksgiving week. I did not plan that to happen that way. But, that's just the way God works. He works in our lives and brings things to us. And it's just amazing to see the Holy Spirit at work in our hearts and our lives. But joy and thanksgiving, they go hand in hand. Where you find joy, there is thanksgiving. Where you find thanksgiving, you will find joy. It all goes together. But before we get too deep into the correlation between joy and thanksgiving, I want to talk about the difference between joy and happiness real quick. Because there is a difference. If you look them up in the dictionary, the American dictionary, you're not going to see a whole lot of difference. But if you look into the Word of God, you will see difference. Because happiness is based on our happenings, the things that are happening around us, our circumstances in life. Happiness is very conditional, depending on what's going on with you that day. Happiness is temporary. You're going to have happiness come into your life. You're going to have sorrow come into your life. And it's very conditional. Also, it's based on emotions. And as we all know, emotions are very fickle. Emotions change in just a heartbeat. And happiness is not something that we can depend on. It's very external, depending on what's going on in our lives. But see, joy is different. If you study the scripture, you'll find that joy is different than that, because joy is more of an internal thing. It's something that God brings into your life. Joy is not swayed by outside influences. When God brings you joy into your life, it's something that is stable, something that you can depend on in your life. Because I believe true joy only comes from God. I don't believe you can get true joy from anywhere else but from your relationship with God. Now, God brings things into our lives also that bring us joy. Like, my family brings me great joy. My wife and my kids, they are the joy of my life. They bring me so much joy. There's nothing like coming home from work and usually Ella's waiting at the door for me. She likes to knock on the door when she hears the garage door open. She's sitting there knocking on the door, waiting for me to come in. She's ready to give me a big hug and kiss as soon as I walk in the door. Man, that'll just melt your heart. You know, it just brings such joy. But see, I wouldn't have that if it weren't for God. See, God brought me these things in life. And it's because of God that I have joy in my life. So that's the difference between joy and happiness. Is happiness is external, what's going on out here. But when you truly have joy in your heart, it's something that's stable and that nothing can steal away from you. You can let it go, but nothing can take your joy away from you. The Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Think about that a second. The joy of the Lord is our strength. When you have joy in your life, when you have that God joy in your life, nothing can take you down. Nothing can defeat you. But there's times when we allow Satan to steal our joy from us. And then all of a sudden, things start going bad in our lives. And it seems like things go downhill. We need to recapture the joy in our lives. We need to recapture that in our lives. And it has to go back with our thanksgiving. And as I was studying this out and seeing that joy and thanksgiving are related, and we're going to read some of these scriptures here in just a second, but, you know, where you have joy and you have thanksgiving, there is worship. And see, that's where our joy truly comes from, is our worship. Now, I'm not just talking about times at church when we sing songs to God. That's just one tiny aspect of what worship is. Worship is bringing glory to God. Worship is putting your focus on God. Putting Him number one in your life. It's putting the spotlight on God instead of yourself. When you truly put God first in your life, when you truly put the spotlight on Him and take it off of you, joy shows up. And that's where we're going to talk about next week. But this week we're going to talk about joy and thanksgiving. And it all plays into worship. So how many of you have your Bibles with you today? Let's read some scripture. Today we're going to start in Psalms 28. And a lot of what we're going to read today comes out of the Psalms. And I don't think it's any coincidence that joy and thanksgiving are found in the book of Psalms, because the book of Psalms is a book of worship to God. And a lot of this is David pouring out his heart in different times. And I love the book of Psalms because we get to look into the life of King David and the struggles that he had and the victories that he had and all of the things that was waging in his mind. Because there's times that he'll say, you know, God, you are my refuge. You are my strength. You are my strong tower. You know, nobody can take me down because I have you in my life. Then you'll flip a chapter and it'll say, God, where are you? Why does it look like my enemies are defeating me? You know, what's going on? And then all of a sudden he'll change this. But you know what? I trust in you, God. I believe that you're going to bring me through this. And it's just a book of worship to God. It's a book of putting the spotlight on God. And so to find a lot of joy and thanksgiving scriptures is not a surprise to find it in the book of Psalms. Psalms 28, hopefully you've had time to get there now. Psalms 28, verse 7. I got in trouble last week because I wasn't apparently saying the scripture references, and so I got scolded after service. So I'm going to try to let you know where we're going here. Psalms 28, 7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. I trust in Him with all of my heart. He helps me, and my heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving." Joy and thanksgiving go hand in hand. The next one we're going to read is Psalms 42. These kind of go in order through the Psalms, so you know, we're not flipping back and forth too much. Psalms 42, verse 4. Psalms 42, 4. It says, "My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sounds of great celebration." So you can see joy, thanksgiving, and worship all go together. They all play off of each other. It's when we get into a lifestyle of worship to God, that's when we're in the zone. That's what I call the zone, is getting into God's will for your life. And when you begin to worship God, it's amazing how much more peace and joy you have in your life. But also, there's clarity that comes to your life. All of a sudden, you're able to comprehend things that you've never comprehended before about God. And it's amazing how things become clear. What God wants you to do with your life becomes clear because you're opening up the lines of communication through your worship. And thanksgiving is one of the biggest ways that you can worship God. Being thankful for what God has done for you in your life. It's huge. It's huge. So, if joy brings thanksgiving and thanksgiving brings joy, then what do we have to be thankful for? You know, we could probably go around the room and talk all day about things that we're thankful for. But as I was reading through the Bible, I came up with some scriptures of what they were thankful for back in those days. And let's see if we can be thankful for these things as well. Psalms 56:11 is where we're going to start. Psalms 56:11 says, "I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? I will fulfill my vows to you, O God. I will offer a sacrifice of thanks for your help." How did God help us? "For you have rescued me from death. You have kept my feet from slipping. So now I can walk in your presence, O God, in the life-giving light." See, David was thankful because God was there to help. It's great to know that God is there to help us in our everyday life. God did not just, you know, save us and then send us out and say, "Good luck. We'll see you when you get to heaven." See, God didn't do that to us. Because He's there to help us every single day. He wants to be a part of your everyday life. Every day when you wake up, you should say, "Thank God I'm alive today. God, I need your help today." Before we go to bed, we should pray. During the middle of the day, we should be talking to God. He wants to be a part of every decision you make, every aspect of your life. He wants to be a part and He wants to help. Isn't it great to know that the God who created everything, that has all power, has all knowledge, is on our side? Some of you are glad about that. I'm excited about that myself. That the God of the universe that has all power is on my side and wants to help me live my life for Him. That is great news. But I love what he says here. He said, "You rescued me from death, and you've kept my feet from slipping, so now I can walk in your presence." See, back in the Old Testament, they couldn't be in the presence of God. In fact, if someone happened to go into the presence of God in a wrong manner, they would die instantly. If you look back at the tabernacle, there was only one person that could go into the presence of God one time a year, and he had to do it just right, or he would die because he had sin in his life. See, it was our sin that separated us from God. It was our sin that made this huge divide. And even the mightiest men of God in the Old Testament had to do it just right to go into the presence of God. Otherwise, they would die. Even Moses, you know, when he was up on the mountain, you know, getting the Ten Commandments, he was spending time with God. Moses said, "God, I just want to see your face." He said, "Moses, you can't handle it." Said, "You will die if you see my face, but I'll tell you what I'll do. So I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll walk by. And after I walk by, I'll take my hand off of you, and I'll let you see my hind parts," is what he said. Basically, I'll let you see where I was. So that's the only way you can see me. And even at that, his face was glowing, that they had to put a veil over his face because he got a glimpse of the presence of God. See, they couldn't be in the presence of God. But see, now that Jesus has died on the cross, he's paid the price for our sins, we now have access to the Father. We can be in the presence of God every single day. Even though we are sinful, we can still be in the presence of God. I believe that the presence of God is here right now. The Bible tells us that where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm right there in the middle of you. Let me tell you, God is here right now. We are in the presence of God right now. Something that the people in the Old Testament would never have. That's something to be thankful for. It's something to be excited about. We can walk in His presence. Psalms 75:1. What do we have to be thankful for? That He helps us and we can be in His presence. Psalm 75:1, it says, "We thank You, O God. We give thanks because You are near. People everywhere tell of Your wonderful deeds." So that's one of the wonderful things about God, is that He is always here with us. The Bible says that He will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. See, there's nothing that you can do to get rid of God. Did you know that? You can't get rid of God out of your life. God is always right there, ready to help. He's always near. He's just waiting for you to say the right word. Pray a prayer so that He can do something in your life. God is near. Psalms 106:1. What do we have to be thankful for? Psalms 106:1, it says, "Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever." Oh, man, that's good news, that His love is always here. It's never going to end. God will always love us. He will always be faithful to us. His love endures forever. Some people think God's love has ran out with them. You can never outlive God's love. You can never outlive God's faithfulness to you. Now, some of us think that we've done so much. You know, we've gone so far that, you know, there's no way that God can love me more. There's no way that God can use me anymore. God's faithful love endures forever. Forever. It's good news. Something to be thankful for. Psalms 118:21. Psalms 118:21 says, "I thank You for answering my prayer and giving me victory." I thank You for answering my prayer and giving me victory. It's so great to know that when we pray, God listens. The Bible tells us that the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. Who is the righteous? We are. Anybody who believes in Jesus Christ, confesses Him as Lord and Savior, we are the righteous. When we pray, God listens. Isn't that good news? There's times that I pray and it feels like it hits the ceiling and falls back on my head. Can you get that for me? I would be lost without that. I mean, I'd be lost without my Bible too, but just today I'd be lost without that. But when we pray, God listens. God is there to give us victory in our lives. He's already given us victory in our lives. We just got to know how to tap into the freedom that He's given us. Let's go to the New Testament. Let's see what New Testament people are thankful for. I think it's going to be close to the same stuff. This is actually Jesus, what He thanked God for. It's in John 11, chapter 40. But this is the scene where Lazarus, he has died. And they put him in the grave. And Mary and Martha, a few days before, came to Jesus and said, "Lazarus is sick and he's dying. Will You come heal him?" And Jesus took His time getting there. No, He was kind of slow. And He got there after he had died. And Mary and Martha were just heartbroken. Said, "Jesus, if You'd have just been here earlier, our brother wouldn't have died." Well, Jesus raised him from the dead. And this is what Jesus said. John 11, chapter 40. John chapter 11, verse 40. Y'all know what I mean. Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked to heaven and said, "Father, thank You for hearing me. You always hear me." When we pray, God hears us. That's good news. When we pray, God hears us. And it's not just so great that He hears us, But he goes into action on our behalf. See, God wants to bless us. God wants to give us that rich and satisfying life. There's so many people that think that, you know, that our salvation is the best it's going to get. Well, that's pretty great. I mean, that's something to be thankful for. I mean, if that's all that Jesus ever did for us, we should be grateful. We should dedicate the rest of our lives because of that one thing. See, he wants to take it further than just saving you from your sin. He wants to take it further than that. He wants to bring blessing into your life. He wants to bring increase into your life. And I'm not talking about money. God wants to increase love in your life. He wants to increase joy and peace and grace into your life. See, it's funny that lots of times in church, when we talk about blessing, people automatically start wanting to talk about money. But see, money is the least thing in the kingdom of God. What is the most important thing to God? People. You and me. The people that have not heard about Jesus yet. For God so loved the world that he gave. See, that's what God is interested in. He's not interested in how much money you make. Will God bless you in your finances? Absolutely. But he doesn't bless you so that you can, you know, just have a big house and a nice car and all that. God wants to bless you because he wants to get more people saved. He wants to bless you so that we can give to Never Thirst, so that we can reach over into India to people that we'll never meet and provide fresh water for them and provide the gospel. That's what the blessing of God is about. It's about bringing other people into the kingdom of God. God answers our prayer. He listens to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 57. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. It says, but thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Christ Jesus. He gives us victory over sin and death. These are some great things to be thankful for. Because there's some people that may be sitting in this room today that you look at your life and you don't see much to be thankful for. Maybe you've recently gone through a divorce. Maybe you've recently lost a child. Maybe whatever it is going on in your life, you don't see much to be thankful for. But as Christians, we have everything to be thankful for. What Jesus did for us, we should be thankful. And it's not just a thing that, oh yeah, I'm thankful. But we need to express our thankfulness through words. We need to actually say, God, thank you. Don't you love it when people thank you for something? Isn't that a good feeling that you do something good for them? They just, thank you. I really needed that. You know, and it brings joy to your heart. And that's a worship to God when we thank him. We're putting the focus on him. We're worshiping him. And when we worship God, the funny thing about it is, you know, we can't outgive God. The more we give God, the more he gives back to us. You know, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. See, the more we give to God, the more it's going to come back to us. Now, that shouldn't be our motivation, is to give so we can get something. But a true heart of worship, when you truly love God and you're truly worshiping him, you're truly wanting to lift him up and to let other people see him in your life, that's what worship is. When we truly worship God, he in turn pours the love that we need, the grace, the joy, the peace that passes all understanding. He pours it back onto us. That's the cycle of thanksgiving, joy, and worship. Thanksgiving, joy, and worship. The more we're thankful, the more he's going to give joy. The more joy that we have, the more thankful we're going to be, and the more he gives us more joy. And it's a wonderful cycle. But see, that cycle works opposite as well. The more we talk negative and the more we bellyache and gripe, the worse things are going to get in our lives. And the worse things are going to get, the more we gripe and bellyache. And it's a cycle the other way also. I would much rather be thankful for the things that God has done for me, even though my life might not look like I think it should. Be thankful for what I have. And the more thankful I am, the more I worship God, the more he can build the dream that he's put in my heart. It's all about worship. So if none of those things excite you, I kind of made another list of things that we can be thankful for. All right. Some of this is stuff that I come up with. Some of it is stuff that I stole from somebody else. But I thought, you know, I'm thankful for that, too. So I'll use it. And so let me give you a list of things. You know, if you just can't find anything, there's absolutely nothing to be thankful for. Listen to this list. Did I wake up this morning? Did you wake up this morning? I hope so. Otherwise, you know, I mean, you wouldn't be here if you didn't wake up. But 150,000 people die every single day. 150,000 people did not wake up this morning that were alive yesterday. I'm thankful that I'm alive today. Did my wife wake up this morning? Did my kids wake up this morning? Life is good. I'm glad that I'm here on this earth today. See, 22,000 kids died yesterday. 22,000 kids are going to die today. Something to be thankful for, that we have life. Are you expecting a baby? Are you pregnant? How many couples do you know that have struggled to have kids? That have tried and tried and tried and have not been able to have kids? See, it was about a 5-year process for Miranda and I to be able to have a baby. And I understand that frustration because, you know, you pray and you ask God and you cry and you hurt. And I understand, you know, that it's a hard situation to be in, to where, you know, you just can't get pregnant. And, you know, thank God that He's provided two beautiful kids for me and Miranda. And we're excited about that. We're thankful for that. But if you're pregnant today, that's something to be thankful for, that God is bringing life through you. Do you have a job? Now, I didn't say, do you like your job? I said, do you have a job? Do you have a way that you make money? 14 million people are unemployed today in America. 14 million should be thankful for your job. Are you stressed about money, that you don't make enough money? Well, I kind of did some research, and I found out that if you make $25,000 a year, $25,000 a year, you're in the top 10% of the wealthiest people in America, or in the world. $25,000, top 10, right there. That's pretty good. 1.6 billion people worldwide live on less than a dollar a day. 1.6 billion. Be thankful that you have money. Do I have a place to live? I'm thankful for my house. I'm thankful to be able to live somewhere. Approximately 2 million people are homeless in America. Do you have a car? Do you have an education? Are you healthy today? You know, how many people woke up this morning facing a terminal illness, incurable disease? Well, the good thing about that is we know that Jesus Christ paid the price for sickness and disease on the cross, and with the stripes of Jesus that we're healed, so I don't think there's any incurable diseases. I don't think there's any lost cases out there. But if you have your health, that's something to be thankful for. Is your wife healthy? Are your kids healthy? Let's be thankful. Do I know Jesus? There's places in this world that have never heard the name of Jesus. And we should be thankful that we live in a country that we can go to any bookstore and buy a Bible and read and learn about Jesus. That we can worship God like we want to. We have the freedom to do that. Do you know Jesus today? How many people do you see every single day that doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Little side note, what are you doing about that? Do you know Jesus? One more thing. Can I live my faith out without fear of persecution? We have the freedom in America to live out our faith, that we can freely express our faith any way we see fit. And we don't have to worry about being persecuted. See, 176,000 people died last year because they stood up for their faith. We should be thankful that we can stand up for our faith, that we can express our faith, that we can go in public and pray, we can read our Bible, and nobody can stop us. Guys, we have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot of thankful to be thankful for here in America and our freedoms that we have. But most of all, we have a lot to be thankful for in what God has done for us. Because He has given everything for us. He has given everything. We have so much that we can be thankful for. One last scripture today is in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. I believe this sums it up well. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. It was actually in the video a while ago. It says, "Do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything." Remember, when we pray, God listens. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That's good news. That is great news. We need to be thankful for all that He's done for us. Let's pray. Prayer team, go ahead and come up. Father, we just love you so much, God. Thank you. Thank you, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die for us. God, we just, as we're going through this Thanksgiving season, God, just help us to reflect in our lives. God, help us to see the times that you stepped in our lives and performed a miracle. God, that there's times that you stepped in and saved our lives. God, that times that you've stepped in and done something amazing just because you love us. God, help us to be thankful for all that you've done for us. God, we pray for all those who don't know you as Lord and Savior. God, we just pray that you're just working in their hearts, their lives. God, we pray for those, our co-workers. God, the people that we run into every single day that we have relationship with that don't know you. Father, use us to bring life into them. Father, help our lives to be a worship to you. God, that in our lives that we put the spotlight on you. God, and that you get the glory, God, and that you do something amazing all around us. Father, I just lift up all those who are here today that might be depressed, that are down. God, that they don't see any hope. God, I pray that you just reveal yourself as the hope, the way, the truth, the life. Father God, just thank you as we pour out our hearts to you today, God, that you hear our prayers. We know that you go into action. Father, we just love you.